Welcome to Candid Confessions, powered by SudeepAudio.com.
Hi, I'm Shantanu Hodlikar. I'm a sound engineer. I started off my career being a studio engineer and recorded many rock and roll bands and jazz bands because that was where my interest lay. But the commercials were always in, at that time, in advertising. Did thousands of jingles and a couple of film songs, which was not really my interest. It's not that I didn't like it. It's not really my interest. My interest was working with rock bands and jazz bands and pop and stuff like that, non-film music. And the first really popular band that I recorded with and mixed was a band called Rock Machine. They already had recorded their first album under Nakul Kamte, who was my mentor and my senior when I joined the studio business. So I was responsible for recording Rock Machine's second album. I had already known them as friends for a long time. I was the house engineer at Music Room. They had done their first album. I think the first album was called Rock and Roll Renegade. It was done at Music Room. The second album, called The Second Coming, was also done at Music Room. They wanted to keep that continuity. They had the familiarity with the studio, plus they knew me as an engineer. So I recorded their second album. Great experience recording it, great fun recording it, blah, blah, blah. Album is released, it comes out, great experience, great airplay for the band. When the band approached me and said, listen, man, you know, we used to have our own front of house engineer when we did live gigs, but he's not going to be around anymore. Why don't you come on the road with us? I said, you know, typical rock and roll fashion, I'd love to, but I know jack shit about it. So he says, hey, listen, you knew jack shit about this too, right? Being a studio. I said, yeah. Well, we'll work with sound rental companies, you know, and you'll get the hang. Just dive into it. Fearless people that we were in that stage didn't think too much about it. You know, let's get on the road. First gig, boom, you know, I have this massive PA in front of me. And just using my instincts and tuning the system to a CD that we are really familiar with to get the CD sounding really nicely in a live situation, playing different formats of bands on CDs, because those days, analog mixers, analog crossovers, analog EQ, everything was analog. Nothing was digital in those days. Working with bins and stacks and stuff like that, left and right, and there was no surround, no subs, nothing of that sort at that time. Most of the times we would probably just have SM57s as microphones and SM58s as microphones, and that's probably it. If it was a luxury, you would probably get a Beta 58 for the lead vocalist, so which was a big thing. Or we'd maybe get AKG, I think D12 or D112 as your kick drum microphone, but the rest of the stuff was all 57s and 58s. So I said, well, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. Console was, I think, Allen and Heath or Soundcraft. I'm not too sure, analog console. And just trying to use the same concepts that you hear in the studio, which is keeping in mind the PA and keeping in mind the acoustics of the venue that you're in play. And my first concert was at this iconic venue, which is now closed down, Rang Bhavan. And it being an amphitheater kind of thing. So you used to get the slap back. So you get used to working with slap back and then realizing, you know, later on that when the crowd comes in, that slap back will go, you know. So these are these learning experiences that you took into consideration when you were working with sound and moving from the studio into a live atmosphere. Did the concert, great. You know, everyone loved the sound. As the kind of person that I am never always happy. But if the crowd is happy and the band is happy, well, that's I'm happy. But you hope that you will do a better job at the next concert. And that is the process. So as time went by, you know, I started doing other bands and getting, you know, better equipment to work with and finally reaching a point in your life where you say, wow, this is absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I sending riders in, and riders at that point of time, 90% of the times were not met. So, you know, now here I am, I'm the celebrated engineer, and I land up at the venue, and we're there at the sound check. And we didn't have the liberty in those days of having sound check on one day and then the gig on the next day. It was arrive in the morning, go straight to sound check, finish sound check, maybe have an hour to get freshened up, and there's the gig. So there's not much you can do at the point when you land up for sound check if you find gear not there as per your rider. You know, first time you throw a fit, start throwing attitude, it's like, what the fuck is going on? What's this? What's that? Why not there? And the vendor just shrugs his hand and say, it's not there. Now what are you going to do? You go back to your roots and you say like, okay, you know, I'm used to working with 58s and 57s. Let me just use that, you know, let's go back to basics. I've had this video on Sudeep Audio, getting your basics right. That always falls into place for me. So here again, I had my basics right, which is why I was able to manage to cut things, you know, and wing it when things weren't going right, because I had my basics absolutely in process. All this leads up to a story where, much towards the end of me wanting to move out of the live sound scene, is I think this was 91 or 92, I can't really remember. I used to do sound for the local jazz yatras too over here in Bombay. And it was always held at the Rang Bhavan or at the Brabourne Stadium. And there used to be this Dutch engineer by the name of Kees Westendorp, who used to come over here and who used to be the stage manager. And we got friendly with him over the years. And his company that he used to work for in Holland used to do sound for one of the largest jazz festivals in the world called the North Sea Jazz Festival. Through our association, he said, like, Shantanu, you should come for the North Sea Jazz Festival. You should work over there. I said, great, I'd love to. So immediately, being close friends, he called me up. It's like, okay, so what's going to happen is you're coming and working as part of the sound crew. You will not be paid for it because that's your first gig at the North Sea Jazz. It's a massive festival. You know, you have B.B. King and Pat Metheny and, you know, Miles Davis and Santana and all these bands performing over there. And he said, you pay your way through. You come over there. We'll look after your boarding and lodging, food. You won't get paid, but you'll get that experience of working the North Sea Jazz Festival. Boom, went in over there. Great, landed up over there. Sure thing, he was there as a friend of mine to meet me, took me into accommodation. And this is about 1 week before the festival actually starts. So he wanted me to be there right from the beginning as a setup. So at that time, this festival used to be held in The Hague. Venue was called the Kongresgebouw. So in this place, there were 13 stages, basically 13 different venues within one enclosure, within one area. So at any given time, there are 13 bands playing at any given time, because there are 13 stages. You cannot have one empty stage. So as an audience, if you have chosen band A on stage one, there might be another great band playing on stage two, but you can't see both. So you have to make those choices. Sometimes the choices are very difficult for the audience what to make. So therefore, you get the program almost 6 months before as to who is playing when and at what stage. So audiences, when they buy tickets, they can come in and decide which ones they want to see. So you have a choice of buying a complete festival pass or you buy individually. Okay? Anyway, so we are part of the sound crew setting up all these stages. We set up these stages and we're learning everything. We are the sound crew. Fantastic. I'm there. You know, I've come with all this experience. You know, I've worked with all these bands in India. Mind blowing. Is that and the other. So we are there over there. I have this engineer and I'm thinking I'm going to be put in as an assistant in front of house or monitors or whatever, all this kind of stuff. And there is this talk happening. And there's a sound crew of approximately, well, I would say around 150. Sound people, including myself. So the sound boss is over there and I am introduced along with three other apprentices who have come in over there. And we have been given the official hat for the festival, and we have given the official Access All Areas badge, which is a big thing because that means you can go in anywhere, no one will question you. And I was given a box of paint, and I was given brush, and I was given overalls. And that overalls had the company's name on it with North Sea Jazz Festival. And I'm saying to myself, what the fuck is this? And this was my job. And my job was something very simple. My job was to take this can of paint with this brush and go to every stage. There are 13 stages. Before a band came on, I had to go take this paint and touch up any dirt or patches which were left on the wedges and side fills and monitors, because everything had to look spick and span. That was my job for 3 days, for starting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon till about 2:33 at night. There was no closing hour. So this was my job. And I am saying to myself, here I am with all this experience, here I am, I have recorded bands, I have engineered bands, I have won awards, all those kind of things. What the fuck am I doing over a place like this with a pretty paintbrush and a can of paint? And the road boss, or the crew boss over there, could see that happening in my head. Now, don't forget, so there were 149 people watching me getting this pep talk from this road boss, because this all happened in one room in front of everybody, because there's nothing to hide. So he told me something. He's like, Shantanu, I understand, you know, your problem that, you know, this is what you thought you would come to do, and this is the kind of job that you've been given to do, and you know, you thought that you would be actually working with bands, etc., 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 but this, what the hell is this kind of stuff? So he said, let me tell you one thing, this job that you're doing is really important, because the bands that are coming on are superstar bands. They are used to a certain kind of ethic. They're used to a certain kind of class, which is what the North Sea Jazz provides. Okay? So the stage has to look immaculate. You are the reason why that happens. Let me tell you very importantly, if you do not do your job properly, the stage manager does not green light the next band that comes on. Because he will inspect the stage, he will find blemishes, he will find problems on stage, and he will not allow the next band to start unless those situations are taken care of. And as you know, these festivals are run like clockwork. If the band is supposed to finish at 2:30, the next band will come on at 2:45. 15-minute change over time is what takes place in all these festivals. None of these bands are getting sound checks, and they are big bands. So you have to be able to do your job. So the moral in all of this is, there is no job that is too small, however experienced you might be. Because that front of house engineer who you wanted to be, once you become your front of house engineer, you will find a person who has not done the paint job, and you will be pissed off as to why that job has not been done, and you will not be able to start your gig. So please understand that you are the starting block for a successful festival, for the band having a good experience, and most importantly, for you being called next year and being paid for it. That is what I mean to say. No job is too small to learn to take higher steps to reach where you want to.